Hello, Illinois Radio Reader listeners. This is Elizabeth McMahon with the News Gazette for Monday, March 31st, 2025. I'm going to start today with some big features on the front page, move to more local news, local, state, and national news, and in the second half, we'll go to obituaries and some sports. And the big story on the front page of the News Gazette is a look at the State Farm Center, and with the big headline, Concerted Effort. State Farm Center has a sound plan to engage community through new experiences and partnerships. And this is by Luke Taylor of the News Gazette. No matter if they win at the buzzer or lose by double digits, State Farm Center has been stuffed most times Brad Underwood's Illini have taken the court the past few years. The arena's hope is to create that same level of consistent buzz around the community when a national act is booked for a concert, be it rock or country, Christian or Motown. The support of the community is what will create downhill momentum and allow us to continue building on past successes, Arena Assistant Director Brad Swanson said. One way State Farm Center officials hope to achieve that is by building relationships with local businesses and individuals, much the same way that the U of I's Division of Intercollegiate Athletics does with donors. That could mean a company reserving a State Farm Center suite for shows while also advertising its business, or it could be a full-fledged partnership like the one between State Farm Center and the News Gazette's parent company, Central Illinois Multimedia Group. In recent weeks, the arena and CIMG announced they joined forces to promote a series of shows spanning a wide range of musical genres: country, Lone Star on May 4th, Motown, The Temptations and Four Tops on October 16th, and The Biggie Rock and Roll, June 14th's REO Speedwagon reunion show. It's just kind of looking at things in a new way and looking at it more from a long-term perspective rather than on just an event-by-event basis, arena director John Marquardt said. Said CIMG Chief Operating Officer Paul Barrett, "For us, partnering with John and the folks at State Farm Center is a natural progression in the long-standing relationship between the U of I and the News Gazette and our parent company, CIMG. This remarkable facility is a focal point of our community, and as John has said, this relationship is about long-term community enhancement by two of the oldest and most influential institutions in the Champaign-Urbana area, the University of Illinois and the News Gazette and its media subsidiaries. Just like our relationship with Learfield and the U of I with regard to sports broadcasting and promotion, this event entertainment partnership is a marriage made in heaven. The arena's pitch isn't so much that people should come to concerts they aren't interested in. Rather, it's to encourage community members to look at shows as an option for an activity to do with friends or a chance to hear something new. It's also to encourage people to view attending a concert as an investment in the venue's efforts to bring in more acts over time. State Farm Center makes a large financial commitment any time a concert is added to the schedule, creating a risky scenario if the local fan base for the act isn't as large as expected. That doesn't even take into account the process of building relationships with agents or promoters. Marquardt is in charge of booking for the arena. It's a year-round conversation that takes place. We have relationships with promoters that we've been doing business with for decades, he said. When they have a tour that's crossing the country and it might intersect with Champaign, they know to call me and we'll try to work out the details. But he can't just wait for promoters to come to him. Arena employees also spend time reaching out to promoters for different acts that they would like to bring to town. Marquardt said that one goal is to bring in a wide variety of acts and entertainment, including non-concert events like touring Broadway shows to appeal to the diverse tastes of Champaign-Urbana and surrounding counties. Our bread and butter could truly just be country show after country show, but that doesn't serve the purpose of the building to the community, Swanson said. Added Barrett, Brad and John are absolutely correct that this wonderful facility should be for everyone to enjoy. Like many of the amenities around us in our community, sometimes we take for granted things that others living outside our region covet. By opening our minds and our pocketbooks, we can continue to create wonderful memories. That purpose is core to State Farm Center because it's a nonprofit unit of the University of Illinois, not a solely revenue-driven operation like many venues. We have to charge for parking and concessions and other things to create the revenue streams that allow us to bring events to this facility. The costs of turning the lights on, staffing the venue, and booking performers the community wants to see all add up quickly, Marquardt said. At the end of the day, we're not out to make a profit like a lot of other buildings like ours. One challenge in bringing in larger musical acts is CU's placement near big markets like Chicago, Indianapolis, and St. Louis, plus more mid-sized competitors like Bloomington, Peoria, Decatur, and Terre Haute, Indiana. And Marquardt said the current trend is for artists to opt for large markets with guaranteed sold-out shows over areas where selling the last couple thousand seats might take a lot of extra work. We're one of many smaller stops in between major markets in an industry that's highlighting primarily major markets, Marquardt said. As that piece of the pie that's available to secondary and tertiary markets like ours shrinks, we need to try to do more to give ourselves the best shot at landing those shows. Another major challenge in bringing in more acts isn't unique to State Farm Center, finding a time for a show that works for both the artist and the venue. In State Farm Center's case, Illini men's and women's basketball can fill up the days that would otherwise be ideal for concerts. The venue also hosts other events ranging from IHSA sports finals to the Illinois Junior Academy of Sciences annual exposition. Those are all things that are not huge concerts, but they require just as much advanced planning to weave those events into our already aggressive entertainment calendar, Marquardt said. Those timelines are all set months, if not years, in advance. Concerts take a while to organize, too. It took around 3 years to arrange for the 2017 Garth Brooks concerts that ultimately sold 56,000-plus tickets. It's up to the venue to market itself, not just to ticket buyers, but also to acts it hopes to lure to Champaign. The arena's renovations in 2016 made it a much easier sell. Marquardt said that work changed everything. At 50 years old, the building didn't have air conditioning and only had one set of loading docks for shows, and it took up to a minute for the lights to turn on. The renovations solved those issues, refreshed the backstage areas, and added a whole kitchen and more points of sale, which introduced the ability to sell alcoholic beverages as well as more food options. Wider concourses made it easier for fans to get around, and new lobby areas added a level of security. It made us a more modern facility that became more of a destination for the guests, Marquardt said. The new sound system is, for some, too loud, but that means it's flexible and customizable to an artist's preferences. The lights are new, too, including elements that add color to the exterior or shine up toward the ceiling inside the seating bowl, accentuating part of the iconic architecture of the venue. All of that can be useful for both musical acts and theater productions, which no longer have to rent out as much equipment to perform at State Farm Center. The design of the building itself, a huge circular arena that looks like some sort of flying saucer on the prairie, has some unique selling points for fans and artists, too. Swanson said that it can be difficult to sell out the back row, which is troubling since it includes more than 1,000 of the 15,500 permanent seats. But those seats are much closer to the stage than in many venues of that size. If you're in our last row, that's equivalent to a club seat in a lot of big venues when comparing how far you are from the stage, how high you are off the ground, and how steep the seats are, he said. More major changes from the 2016 renovations included the addition of suites and club spaces. The suites are unique compared to other venues because they're open air and close to the action. Both suites and club spaces have played a role in building out the experience for sports fans. Those are sold by our athletic development staff that cultivate relationships with donors, Marquardt said. That's a long-term relationship that exists with the donors who buy tickets. Suites offer private spaces for large groups with included kitchen spaces and access to the Traditions Club. Club seats are season tickets that include access to one of four clubs that each offer different amenities like additional food options and courtside seating. That kind of specialized experience is soon going to be enhanced further for concerts. Marquardt said the idea is to open up avenues for more repeat business and relationships with companies and individuals that will not be one-time purchases like a typical concert ticket sale. New offerings for businesses will include packages to reserve a suite or club space for a concert, but also to advertise in the venue, on the night of the show, and on other platforms. Of course, Marquardt said that businesses aren't his only priority in bringing in greater audiences for concert events. "Something that's a priority for me is making sure that we have accessible pricing for fans of all different means and backgrounds," he said. "We want to have big acts here, but we also don't want to price, we don't want price to be a reason that somebody can't attend a show here." Illinois-based concert promoter Ditto Basso believes the State Farm Center CIMG partnership is a surefire winner. "The music concert business has changed dramatically since COVID. After many months off, all the major bands hit the road with their touring schedule," he said. "Everyone in competition is in competition to bring the major acts to their communities. This is why it makes such sound sense for State Farm Center and Central Illinois Multimedia Group to combine their resources and bring A-list bands back to Champaign. State Farm Center has a legendary facility and will continue to work to bring world-class entertainment back to Champaign." Despite challenges with scheduling and competition with larger markets, Marquardt said the State Farm Center is dedicated to using its resources, including in unique ways, to create offerings for the local community. That might include college students who can walk over to the arena, or someone from Rantoul who shouldn't have to drive to Chicago to see a show they're interested in. To continue increasing offerings and bringing in bigger acts, he's hoping to move forward a conversation with that community about turning out for different shows. For example, State Farm Center has an upcoming Sunday afternoon concert featuring the country band Lone Star, an example of an outside-the-box approach to try to engage the community in a different way rather than just offering a show at a typical time for a country music show. "The idea for that show is to position it as a Sunday fun day where groups of friends can come experience a show on Sunday afternoon, support a charitable cause, and still be home in time for dinner. It's an afternoon out kind of thing," Marquardt said. "That's a great example of a concept of creating the experience and not necessarily going to see the artists, but creating an afternoon entertainment experience that people can get behind." Arena officials say that they'd also be interested in booking local acts to open shows when possible, like next month when the Feudin' Hillbillies will take the stage before Lone Star, as another way to connect with the community. "When we talk about our role as a community destination, that's something that I take pretty seriously, and I know our whole team here is on board with that," Marquardt said. "We want everybody to be able to come and enjoy events here, not just the people that want to buy the suite for the biggest concert or biggest basketball game of the year, but people that just want to come and see a comedy show or want to see the Marching Illini in concert." Added Barrett, "This is an exciting new time for State Farm Center, the News Gazette, and the citizens of our community. The collaboration will bring diverse shows and entertainment for all to enjoy. Sunday Funday will become a family commitment on refrigerator doors all over the region. With the marketing, digital, and advertising reach of CIMG and the professional experience of John and his crew at the State Farm Center, the quality of life for our community will only continue to improve." Moving on here, we have another story on the front page with the headline, "Lawyers Examine Pavilion's Finances Amid $180 Million Judgment." This is by Luke Taylor. This regards a 2020 rape case. A Champaign psychiatric facility that owes $180 million in damages for negligence after one of its patients was raped by another is now required to testify as to its financial assets in court. In response to a citation to discover assets filed by the plaintiff, representatives of the Pavilion Behavioral Health System delivered financial documents from the last 2 years regarding income and expenditures for the nonprofit, sometimes overlapping with its parent, Universal Health Services. This citation is a step by the plaintiff in requiring the debtor, Pavilion, to pay what the court determined it owes if it has the funds or assets to do so. In March 2024, a jury found the Pavilion was negligent in a 2020 case when a 16-year-old boy raped a 13-year-old girl while both were patients. The boy, who died in 2022, worked with another patient to smear toothpaste on security cameras in the pediatric unit and distract a Pavilion employee before sexually assaulting the girl. The girl's mother filed a suit against the pavilion and was originally awarded $475 million in punitive damages, but that number was reduced to $120 million in October 2024 in a written order from Champaign County Judge Jason Boehm. He determined that the pavilion was negligent but did not have malice or intent in harming the girl, so he reduced the punitive damages. Boehm did not reduce the $60 million in compensatory damages the pavilion owes, which are meant to repay the family for what the girl went through. The pavilion hired John Roche, a partner in financial advisory firm Province LLC, to examine its finances and add questions about them in a court hearing Friday. Roche said he was hired March 1st and has since spent about 70 hours working on the case, billed at his $1,150 hourly rate. While personal injury attorney Tim Cronin, representing the plaintiff, initially questioned Roche's role in answering his questions over the pavilion's chief financial officer, Lucas Morton, he ultimately spent over 2 hours highlighting different aspects of the many documents provided by the pavilion. Three citations to discover assets were filed January 23rd to the Pavilion Foundation, Universal Health Services, and Universal Health Services of Delaware. Until shortly after that date, the pavilion did not have its own bank account. It shared an account operated by a company called West Church, which handles income and expenditures for the company with the Delaware company. Cronin asked about the pavilion's tax documents, which had listed current assets of at least $115 million every year since 2018. However, Roche said that represented a bookkeeping balance with West Church, and if he were recording financial information under the United States Generally Accepted Accounting Principles, he would not record it as assets. For the specific purposes of tax forms, he said that was the place to put it. Cronin also asked about the $7 million to $10 million in profits reported on each annual tax form since 2018, considering the pavilion is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and Cronin said they were not paying taxes on that income. Roche said he did not know where that money went. Despite their name, nonprofits can earn a profit, but may be subject to taxes and are required to use that extra funding toward their activities. Cronin had Roche explain several line items in recent income and expenditures, including two $25,000 payments to Paul Ferdinands, a new member of the pavilion's board of directors. He said other members of the board who participate as part of their employment with affiliated companies recently made changes to the bylaws to add an independent director, which is why he's being paid. The line item for those payments to Ferdinands said they would be monthly. Ferdinands has previously worked for King and Spalding LLP, where he advised clients in bankruptcy and financial restructuring. Cronin also asked about a $250,000 payment, which turned out to be for the legal counsel in this case. I'm going to continue with some more local news here. On page A9, we have a story by Jana Wiersema with the headline, "Lack of Election Judges May Force Polling Place Closures." Champaign County Clerk and Recorder Aaron Amons has announced that some polling locations may be closed Tuesday unless enough people step up to serve as election judges. The clerk's office is hoping to find 20 more judges for Tuesday's consolidated election. "As of right now, we don't have the needed number of Democratic election judges to staff all polling locations," Amons said Thursday afternoon. "If we don't meet the requisite number by the end of business day on Friday, will be forced to look at possibly closing polling locations." The county previously had to close 15 voting centers during the 2024 primary because of the same issue, though that time Amons reported that the gaps were on the Republican side. Information about the qualifications and responsibilities for election judges is available at champaigncountyclerk.com/elections/work-election-judge. Individuals can sign up to serve by using a link at the site, emailing the county clerk's office at elections@champaigncountyclerkil.gov, or calling the elections division at 217-384-3724. And moving on, we have a Danville-based story with the headline, "A New Spin on Helping." Danville School's laundry facility targets potential source of embarrassment for homeless students. This is by Jennifer Bailey at the News Gazette. Mark Denman Elementary School has a new facility it's offering to local families affected by hardship, including the victims of a house fire over the recent spring break, a large family staying in a too small hotel room, or students dealing with homelessness. A laundry room. Those are our families that can really utilize this facility, said school-home liaison Jeremy Stimmick. We try to remove any barriers to education, and this is a barrier. The Danville School District completed the laundry facility at the K-4 school at the end of January, and it's been used by a handful of families already. The goal was to help the approximately 230 homeless students and those at risk of being homeless and their families. Students can be considered homeless when they are living with other relatives. Attendance can be affected, with students not wanting to go to school with dirty and smelly clothes, Stimmick said. Parents also don't want to be embarrassed by sending their kids to school looking that way, he said. Cleanliness can affect attendance, Stimmick said. Stimmick said he expects the laundry facility will be used a lot more at the start of the next school year because the first 3 or 4 months of the school year is when more families experience homelessness. He added that the district has a lot of resources for families to use as needed, and it can't always predict when those needs will occur. This isn't just a Mark Denman facility. This is a district facility, Stimmick added. Transportation can be another barrier with the laundry facility. Stimmick said that the district can also pick up families in its van and bring them to the facility. Referrals are given to school social workers and or building home interventionists. Families set up appointments and are accompanied by a social worker or home interventionist when using the facility. A district log is used for monitoring it and setting appointments. The laundry room is in a former classroom that was split in half and only has access to outside. It created that extra security feature for us, which I think is nice, said social worker Chelsea Holton. There are 3 combination washer-dryer machines. Laundry soap, dryer sheets, and laundry bags are available for use. There's a sink, a laundry folding area, bulletin board with family resource information, and a table for school staff and families to work on their laptops. There's no cost for families to use the facility. I think it's important that we empower our families, Halton said. I think there's a certain level of dignity of using a district resource versus asking for help in the community from people they don't know. I think them being able to contact us in the district, which they have existing relationships with us already, is easy for a parent to pick up the phone and call me and say, hey, I'm really struggling with this laundry. Can you help me? She said. And that's absolutely no problem. We want to help them with that. I think that's just a barrier that this has achieved because it's hard for them to reach out to the community, she said. They don't know where to start. They don't know whom to call. They don't know where to turn to. So it's important for us to know that they can turn to the district and we'll be able to meet those needs for them. The district gets phone calls asking for help with space heaters, beds, clothes, laundry, diapers, and other items. Halton said they can't meet all the needs, but that's where the laundry facility comes in. Administrators saw families struggling and wanted to help. Mark Denman Elementary Principal Stacy Solers came up with the idea after listening to a speaker at a conference talk about adverse childhood experiences. So it kind of got me thinking that a lot of our kiddos, they're not able to come to school because they don't have clean clothes, Solers said. This is just huge, added Kelly Truex, the district's director of educational support programs. It's just a beautiful space. We're thrilled with the facility. The cost was around $35,000 for the machines and other items, along with plumbing, electrical, and flooring updates, with funding coming from a grant from the federal McKinney-Vento Homeless Assistance Act. And there's a nice photo here of Mark Denman Elementary School home liaison Jeremy Stimmick and social worker Chelsea Halton, who are talking about the new laundry facility. They're there with the laundry machines. I'm going to move on to more of a fun story here. This is by Cameron Suttinger. This is her Inside Out Museum of the Grand Prairie focus. And the headline reads, "Looking to improve your well-being? Visit a museum." Evidence shows it can encourage reflection, presence, while renewing community and connection. In today's fast-paced world, many of us feel bombarded by constant busyness, distractions, and an overwhelming sense of urgency on a daily basis. This experience contributes to stress, burnout, and a general feeling of disconnection from our surroundings, our community, and ourselves. Finding opportunities to reconnect can have a profound impact on our mental, emotional, and even physical health. Museums playing a role in enhancing well-being may not seem like an obvious approach, but evidence shows visiting a museum can be an effective way to encourage reflection and presence while also renewing a sense of community and connection. With an environment designed for reflection and discovery, museums can be ideal settings for those seeking to pause and reset. A museum visit invites a slower, more deliberate pace, and the exhibits encourage us to take our time, whether it's an exhibit that invites us to contemplate its deeper meaning or a historical artifact that sparks curiosity about the past. Museums can offer a break from the rapid flow of modern life, helping to reduce overstimulation and mental fatigue, and providing an opportunity to understand our connection with the world around us. This intentional break from our regular routines can help foster a deeper sense of balance, satisfaction, and joy, enhancing overall well-being. And whether that's through intellectual engagement, emotional connection, or the simple act of slowing down, visiting a museum can provide a valuable experience that nourishes the body, mind, and spirit. Museum of the Grand Prairie is located on the edge of the Lake of the Woods Forest Preserve in Mahomet, and admission is always free. For more information on the museum, as well as programs and volunteer opportunities, visit museumofthegrandprairie.org or follow us on Facebook. And Cameron Suttinger is director of the Museum and Education at Champaign County Forest Preserve District. I'm going to move on to some state focus news from the Capital Illinois, Capital News Illinois. This is by Peter Hancock of Capital News Illinois, and with the headline, "Despite Trump's order, state won't require proof of citizenship to vote." Illinois voters casting ballots in Tuesday's consolidated elections will not be required to show proof of a U.S. citizenship, despite an executive order issued this week by President Donald Trump. Last Tuesday, Trump issued an executive order directing federal agencies to implement and enforce a nationwide requirement that voters show documentary proof of U.S. citizenship when they register to vote. Matt Dietrich, spokesman for the Illinois State Board of Elections, said in an email Thursday that under existing federal law known as the National Voter Registration Act, voters only need to sign a sworn statement on their voter registration application that they are a U.S. citizen. He also said Illinois does not require voters to show any type of photo ID at the polls. Among other things, Trump's executive order directs the Federal Election Assistance Commission to amend the federal voter registration form to include a space in which state or local officials are to record the type of citizenship document the applicant provides. It also directs the commission to withhold federal election funds from states that refuse to accept forms containing the proof of citizenship information. The executive order limits the types of acceptable documents to U.S. passports, state-issued driver's licenses or identification cards that are compliant with the Federal Real ID Act, official military ID cards that indicate the applicant is a U.S. citizen, or a valid state or federal government-issued photo ID that indicates the applicant is a U.S. citizen. It also directs the Department of Homeland Security, in coordination with the Department of Government Efficiency, to review each state's publicly available voter registration list alongside federal immigration databases and state records to determine whether they are consistent with federal requirements that prohibit non-citizens from voting. David Becker, an election law expert and director of the nonprofit Center for Election Innovation and Research, said at a media briefing Thursday that he doubts the executive order will withstand an almost certain legal challenge, because it goes beyond a president's constitutional authority. And I'm going to end with a quick fun fact about history. On March 29th, a few days ago, March 29th, 1974, a group of Chinese farmers digging a well struck fragments of terracotta buried underground, and archaeologists would ultimately discover terracotta sculptures of more than 8,000 soldiers and other figures. The Terracotta Army would become one of the most significant archaeological discoveries of the 20th century. And I'm going to take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette for Monday, March 31st. Please stay tuned.